brother, okay, to bless us with the word of God. Put your hands together for him. Amen.
I thank Pastor. Thank God also who makes this moment possible. Thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity to share the word of God with my brothers and sisters. It is not me that says anything. I don't know anything to say. But I strongly believe that God will open my mouth to say something. Why? Because the topic I chose, I had different options. But this one, I had somehow very peace of mind in my heart. That is a sign that I think shows me that God wants us to talk about it today. So, in his infinite mercy, he will help me to say something, and he will help you also to understand what I am saying. In Jesus' name, amen. So, the topic I want us to share together today, with this wonderful opportunity provided, is about growing real faith in God. It is not easy. But that is what is required of us, growing real faith in God. We generally always profess that we have faith in God. But what is the real faith and how do we grow it? The importance of faith is not disputable. We all know how important it is. Faith is the foundation of our Christian life. Without faith, we will not be here. It is faith that made us to be here. Yeah, the faith that Jesus Christ died for our sin set us free. Yeah, that when we follow him, that we inherit eternal life. That is the reason why we are here. Every aspect of our life is affected by the strength of our faith. The prayers we pray is affected by the strength of our faith. Yes, our character as a Christian, the character, the activity, the behavior we display is affected by the strength of our faith. Our giving, our putting something in envelope, our supporting the youth's music ministry, yes, is affected by the strength of our faith. When we have strong faith, we'll be able to move mountains. That is the promise of God. Our health, the healing we receive, is affected by the strength of our faith. Our relationships, yeah, even with our spouses, with our fathers and mothers, yeah, with our teachers, it's all affected by the strength of our faith. Faith is one of the fundamental teaching of the scripture. Jesus used different ways. In most teachings in the Bible, Jesus used different ways to say the same thing to the disciples. That is about having faith. Different parables, walking on the sea by Peter, and then suddenly stinking again. Storm in the boat, yeah, while Jesus is asleep, casting out the evil spirit that did not go out, yeah, by the disciples, are all different things or different ways Christ tried to teach about faith. So it's all about faith. But do we have it? How much do we have it? How do we demonstrate it? Yeah. Faith is so important that Jesus raised a sobering question after he told the parable of this persistent widow, yeah, to a judge. He raised the question and asked, when the Son of Man comes later, will he be able to find faith on earth? To show you that this is so important for him. Without faith, we cannot please God. That is what he said. Yeah, without faith, we are not going anywhere. We need to demonstrate. And that's why I feel upon my heart that we share this word together. I will learn from it because it's God that is talking to us. I don't know it all. I'm not perfect. I will learn from it, and you also will learn from it. We need to demonstrate it powerfully. in Hebrews 11:1, yeah, there we were given the biblical meaning of faith. Yeah, the King James Version, is it okay? It's not yet there. So, the King James Version said, Now, Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We all know these things, but what it, does it really mean for all of us? Yeah? Substance, the assurance of things only you are hoping, but you're already assured about it. And then it is the evidence of things that you don't see. You must not see before you believe in it. That is, it's not easy. I recognize that. It's not easy. But that is what is required of us. Without that, the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, without that, we cannot please God. It is totally impossible to please God. So that means we have to demonstrate that level of faith. Yeah, being sure of what we hope for. Yeah. And being certain about what we do not see, generally. Without it, we cannot please God. So if, for example, now, somebody comes in here, or maybe somebody asks you, how much faith do you have? Yeah? The young people. If somebody asks you, how much faith do you have? How are you going to answer that? Yeah? Wow. What are you going to say? How much faith do you have, for example? How are you going to answer that? What would you say? How much faith do you have? Too big, too small, not at all, whatever. Yeah? Yeah? A biggie faith. Amen, amen. But that a biggie faith requires a lot. Yeah, it requires a lot, absolutely. But I like your answer. But when such question comes sometimes, it's difficult to answer it unless you have been tested, unless you have gone through very difficult situation that requires your faith to be tested. Then you'll be able to say how much faith you have. Yeah. So, but even if the question is difficult to answer, such question shows us that there are levels in faith. Yeah, there are levels of it. Yeah, there are levels of it. And then there is need for us to exercise the highest level of it. So I will also explore today different levels of faith. For example, yeah, for us to see maybe where we are and how we are going to move forward from it. Yeah, so, but first of all, I will say that in our daily life, unfortunately, we often face obstacles to our faith. Yeah, when we find ourselves in difficulties, immediately we start backsliding. Even though we profess that we are faithful or we have faith in God, but then we start struggling with our faith, or we start to waver in our faith. Do you know what hinders people from trusting God in such difficult times? There are different reasons that we might be aware of or we might not be aware of that are really the things that are preventing us from holding on, making us struggling with our faith. One of them is human reasoning, for example. The ways of the Lord and his instructions does not follow our way. But the problem is that in most cases we try to reason or to judge God's way in our own way, to reason, to want to find logical connection before you can believe that God can do it. That is one of the greatest killer of our faith that pushes us to shiver and pushes us to struggle with our faith. God does not require us to understand his will. He does not require us to understand where it's heading to. He just requires us to trust him. That's it. Nothing more. He doesn't want you to understand the end already. He doesn't want you to put logic on it the way but it can be possible if it's. No. Trust me because my ways are different. But that is what we humans, we often fail. Thinking reason by our human reasoning, anyway. So another thing is living by sight, That is, seeing is believing. That is what we always think. Yeah. If I don't see it, I will not believe. Yeah. If I don't see they are healing the sick and whatever, then I don't believe that it's from God. If I don't see signs that it will work, then I will not believe that it will work. That those are the things that are pushing us away, yeah, from being faithful when we are in difficult times. The Lord usually does not give us visual evidence of his activity. We must trust him, even when we don't see it, even when we can't figure it out. That is it. We will see different levels and different examples of how to demonstrate this. Yeah. Another thing is surrendering our feelings. Yeah, or surrendering to our feelings. Yeah, when we are in difficult situation. Maybe it's becoming difficult and the pain is becoming too much. And then you start to waver. Are you sure that he's safe? Do you think that he can do this? Oh, I'm tired. Oh, I cannot do this. I don't believe it. Once you start thinking in that way, once you start giving in to the emotion, the ability for you to trust him will start going down. Yeah, that is one of the things also. Another one is negative advice from people. Yes, some people care about us. Yes, some people are our loved ones. Even our moms, dads, they love us so much. They want the best for us. But sometimes they don't know what God has in for you. They don't know the plan of God because they are also human. It is you that will trust God. Some advice might come, do this, it might not work anymore. But you need to trust God. Another thing is also continuing in sin. When we sin, when we live in sin, I'm not saying that we are perfect, but when we have these sinful habits, small habits, it distorts the relationship between us and God. And it also reduces the ability for us to believe that we are in good times with God. And that is the problem. And it starts bringing down your ability to believe or trust God in any situation you find yourself. And finally, one of the problems as well is satanic tactics. Satan, of course, we all know, even the young ones, we know he is never interested in anything good for you. Yes, even the best thing, he will try to come and whisper in your ear. No, he will not. Why are you trusting? Why are you thinking that he will do it? Just take this opportunity and do this thing to save yourself. If you're waiting for him, it will not happen. Yeah, and then he deceives you because he knows that where he's getting you to is not the right place. Why are you hoping on God? Just go there and get your boyfriend anyway. Yeah, and then something like that. But God says, wait, hope, believe in me because I am going to give you the wonderful husband that I prepared for you. Don't think about them. Yes, that is what God is telling you, the young ones, please. So now, based on that, I would say that we should not allow our unbelief or all these vices that I mentioned here to drive us away from God. Because without faith, it is impossible for us to enjoy or please God in order to enjoy that eternal life he is proposing or preparing for us. Without pleasing God, of course, you will not go to heaven. That one is very clear. So, like I told you, there are stages or levels of faith. According to one of the books I looked at, written by Charles Stanley, yeah, of In Touch Ministries, he mentioned three stages of faith, which I also buy into. When I study the Bible, I confirm that I'm able to see the stages of faith as three. One, the little faith, or what he calls restless faith. Second one is the great faith, yeah. And the great faith or maturing faith. And the last level or stage is the perfect faith. Yes. You see, it might be that you as a Christian, you are in a particular level that and you are trying to move on to the next level. It could also be that depending on a situation you find yourself, you might finally find yourself in a little faith instead of in great faith. But of course, our aspiration as Christians is to be at that level of perfect faith, because that is what we solve all our problems and lead us to what God wants us to do. Yes. But the key to faith is focus on God. Purely, the level of your focus to God determines which level of faith you are in. So let us see them one by one. Yeah, first of all. So, little faith is a struggling faith. A person with little faith often thinks and says, sometimes, normally the way he thinks is always, I think the Lord can do it. Oh, I'm not certain whether he will do it. I hope he does it. When you find yourself in a difficult situation and then it's going on in your mind, I think God can do it. Yeah, I think, because you don't really strongly believe in it. I hope he can do it. I hope God will do it. We hope God will do it. No, that one is a little faith. It's little faith. It is a trying to believe, trying to trust God. We might have one way or the other found ourselves in this level of faith, but the aim is always to move away quickly from this. Even when you find yourself in a difficult situation, try to move from this level of faith. One example of this little faith, or less stressed faith, the struggling faith, I can call it, we will see in Matthew 8:23-27. That is during the great storm, on the sea while Jesus was asleep. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, a great storm. I think which version? Okay, King James version. Maybe if you use NIV, but let us continue. We know all the stories, just to emphasize it. In so much that the ship... Okay. Without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us. We are going to drown. And he replied, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up and rebuked the wind and the waves, and it was completely calm. That is a perfect example of little faith. Little faith, they here, because of their little, they were overcome by the fear of the storm. And suddenly, they lost focus. Yes. There was no focus on God. There was even no focus. They were focusing on the storm that is happening, instead of focusing on the fact that they have a great Son of God, the creator of the universe, with them in the boat. That the focus. They lack the focus. Yeah. And that is major problem there. The focus was not even there at all on God. Because I said at the beginning that the level of your faith depends on the level of focus on God. In every situation you find yourself, how much do you focus on God? How much do you leave everything, even when it seems that it's not possible? How much do you bring God into it and look at his position, as the everlasting King of glory, the owner of everything? So in this case, they forgot. They didn't even focus on the fact that they have the Son of God with them inside the boat. Rather, they focus on their feeling and what they are seeing that is pushing. That is of little faith. And Jesus rightly called it of little faith. One other example before we move to the next level of faith. One other example of little faith is the father of a boy with evil spirit. Mark 9:17-19. And then 21 to 24, we will look at it. We might know the story. That is, it started with Jesus, the disciples trying to cast out a devil on a boy, possessed, but they couldn't. Yeah, and then Jesus came into it. So, please, if you can use NIV so that it makes it more easier for understanding our daily language. Yeah. So, a man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech." Give me, please. Okay, let us continue. "Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." Then Jesus answered, "O unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you?" That is, he was talking to the disciples. "How long shall I put up with you? Bring this boy to me." He was disappointed that the faith was not really strong, but we'll come back to that. We are focusing on the man, the father of the boy. So get me to 21, please. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. Yeah, the next one. "It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." See, please get me that 22 again. The 22b. "But if you can do anything," "take pity on us and help us." It's emphasized. If you can do anything, it is a sign of little faith. If you can do, you need to believe that he can do it. Hand it over to him. Just trust him. If you can do anything, then please continue with 23, please. "If you can," said Jesus, "everything is possible for him who believes." That is, if you can, if you believe, yeah, everything is possible. So immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. I do believe." That is, the little faith is that struggling faith. You are struggling. I believe. I don't believe. Oh, I believe. I'm not sure. I'm sure. That is what is playing out with this man here. Of course, Jesus helped. Yeah, definitely. But that is a good example of struggling faith. That is the little faith, the restless faith. Suddenly you are not sure whether you believe it. Suddenly you are not sure whether he can do it. Yes, suddenly you know that he can do it, but you are not really certain whether he can. That is what is playing out here. If you can, please help us. Then when Jesus said, "If you can, believe it," and the last part, "help me overcome my unbelief." Because he recognized also that he doesn't believe. Why he says, so that is the little faith that we are talking about. Yeah, little faith is a struggling faith. And that doesn't bring us much out of our problems. We all must have been in this type of situation in different ways or the other. I myself, you, in different way, in different situation. But the aim is for us not to dwell in this level of faith for long. We need to move forward. But we also talk about how do we move forward. But remember that it is the focus, the amount of your focus, the amount of trust you give to God determine how you focus on him when you have difficulties. It is not easy. Nobody's saying that, but saying that it's easy. But that is required of us, whether we like it or not. As far as you say you are a Christian, as far as you say you are a child of God, without faith, you cannot please God. Without faith, you are not going anywhere. That is what it means. Yeah, amen. And another example is Peter walking on the sea, but we're not going to go into details because of our time. So the next level of faith is great faith. The great faith. And that is the faith that somebody who calls himself an average Christian should have. But of course, our aim is always to go to the perfect one, but at least the great faith. Great faith is maturing faith. Yes. Great faith is a growing faith. It is becoming stronger in Christ. It is becoming stronger in your focus to God. It is becoming stronger in everything that you do that is left for God, and you are sure of it. It is standing on the truth of the word of God, not on your feelings, not on other people's opinion, and not on human logic, but on the truth of the word of God. Standing on the word of God, it is not easy, but it is what is required of us. The earlier we start practicing it, the better for us to overcome everything. And that is the only way we can enjoy all the promises full in the Bible, yeah, that God gave us. It is for us. If you don't know, all those promises are for us. And every situation in our life has provision in the Bible, what will come out of it. The promise that God littered everywhere for us. But are we able to claim it? You cannot claim it if you have that little faith. Yeah. So great faith is where more focus on God is demonstrated. The focus is God. It doesn't waver. It might be shaking, but it doesn't waver at all. That is great faith. A good example of great faith is David during the time he had encounter with Goliath. 1 Samuel 17. But it's a long story, and I think everybody here knows about David and Goliath. So we are not going to read David and Goliath. But what we are going to do is to look at how he demonstrated this great faith, yeah, that is maturing faith. As little as he was, a young boy, he has nothing, he had nothing, he didn't even have any weapon at all. Even the armor that they tried to put on him in order to protect him from whatever Goliath will do, he couldn't even carry it. It was too heavy. And he was not even focusing on that. That is major message there. He showed very deep reliance upon the Lord. You see, we read these stories. We hear it because we have been reading it and we always know about it. It looks very simple for us. It is not easy. It is a very determined step to take. The reason, very characteristics of great faith that David demonstrated there is that all his focus was on God. He mentioned everything he said. Okay, let us look at the Bible before I start emphasizing on it. Everything he said was God, God, God. First of all, verse 37, 1 Samuel 17, 37, please. Yes. See what he said. I think he was telling Saul, because when Saul was saying, are you able to say, the Lord who delivered me from the power of the lion. He was already mentioned the Lord. That is his focus. And the power of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord will be with you. Everything is about God. And now please push me to 45 to 47. Yeah. That is also where he made it very clear. Everything was about God. When they put on that weapon, yeah, he said, the movie is too big for me. Just leave me. Get me my string. And then I pick up the stone. He said, not for me. Because it is not about these things. It is not about that. But God. Can you imagine a warrior, a big name? How can I put it? It's not in our day, but today. The highest commander of the UK army coming here, or American army, standing here, and you have to fight him. He has his weapons, he has everything, he has experience on how to kill people. He can even touch your throat, know where to press it, and you are dead immediately. And you, nothing. You are not a soldier, you are the smallest. Even the Saul didn't even take him serious. Saul maybe was waiting for them to clear him so that we can talk business anyway. Yeah. Yeah. But then you have the courage. And because, and it's very clearly here, God. God. And the same can apply to our situation. So, 45. David said to the Philistine that he was telling the Goliath, when the Goliath was boasting everywhere. He said, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of armies of Israel, whom you defied. That is absolute focus on God. Really, if not that I'm a Christian, even as I'm still a Christian, I might at the beginning, how can I do this? But the thing is that the word of God tells us to Trust God in any situation that we find ourselves. Yeah, some people might say, yeah, he's saying it. But that is how it is. That is what is required of us. Just let us focus on him. Let us think about it. Yeah, some people said, I wouldn't go to church on Sunday because I'm working to get money for my house rent. If I don't work, I will not get money for my house rent. Church will not give me money to pay my house rent. Yeah, human logic is like that, yes. But you are not, God's way is not human way. God's way, and that is one of the examples where we are required to focus on God. And how do I focus on God in such situation? Say, I'm not going to work. I am going to church because I know that God will provide for me. Simple. And there are thousands of promises in the Bible that I will provide for you. Go to work. Just believe in. Don't shiver. Don't say, he can. He will. I don't know if I go now, he will give me or not. If you do it, then you are of the little faith. He might still help you because we have a very loving, kind God, a kind, loving God. But to demonstrate the faith, believe in him that he will provide it. And then, when I was starting to engage much in the ministry here, I was having the difficulties of how am I able to combine the load of work that I do for my career, for my profession, and then for church, and then for my family. But at a particular point in time, I was emboldened by faith in God. Who are you that you worry so much? That profession that you are trying to protect, that family you are trying to give attention, which is absolutely necessary. Is it not God that made them possible? Is it not God that gave me my beautiful wife? Is it not God that gave me that job? Is it not God that gave me my son? He gave them to me. And then it is this same God that says, serve me, that he will make a way. It is not easy, but he is always making a way. He is always making a way. That is faith we want to demonstrate. Focus on God. Just trust him. That house rent will be paid. Even if he will give you a job that you are not expecting, that you will work it not on that Sunday, not on that Friday that you have prayer meeting, not on that Tuesday that you have home cell. He will give it to you on those days that you don't have anything to do in the church, that you will recover all the money that you have got if you've gone to Sunday. He is capable God. See, David has nothing. I met somebody who has sought, had everything, had experienced everything, but he focused purely on God. I know it is not easy. I know at the beginning it's shivering. At the beginning you have this little and lustrous faith. You are struggling with it. Even it can come that every situation you find yourself, at the beginning you will be at that little faith level. But please don't dwell on it long. Let us move. Let us move from there and then put our focus on God because he will deliver. He has never failed. As I'm talking to you, there is no way God has ever failed me. It might look difficult. It might shake. But at the end of the day, he will still make them for himself. Yes, that is always how it is. Yeah, generally. So that is David. Everything was focused on God. Focus on God. Yeah. All those gathered here, we know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's. And he will give all of you into our hands. And this is an issue of life and death. Any mistake, you are gone. Any mistake, David is gone. Any slightest mistake is gone. Can you imagine that? And yet, because he focused on God. And God, did you ever see God disappoint him? No, God honors faith. That is something I can assure you. God honors faith, generally. So, another example of great faith. Yeah, quickly, so that we can meet up. Another example of great faith is the centurion. I hope I pronounce it well for the British people. Centurion. That guy that had, centurion, yeah. That guy that had his servant paralyzed, and he went to Jesus. Please give me Matthew 8, 5 to 10, so that it will not be like I'm the one making it up. So we will see it there in our Holy Bible that guides us. Yeah. Matthew 8, 5 to 10. Yeah, is it there? Okay. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy. Oh, NIV is always easy for us to understand. That is paralyzed, yeah? Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed and in terrible suffering. Yeah, please. Jesus said to him, I will go and heal him. And now see. The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. This is a great faith. Even a faith that somebody that is not that perfect, like maybe one of the disciples or one of the prophets of God, yeah, demonstrated. Just say it at home. Stay there and say it. And even telling Jesus, just say, let me go. If of somebody of little faith, we say, please come, because you will believe that you are not sure if he says it, it will happen. So maybe he has to come. And then maybe touch him, do some rituals, and then it will work. If not, it will not work. Yeah. But this one, don't bother yourself. Just sit there, say it, and it will happen, because I know. For I myself, I'm a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. And that one, come, and he comes. I said to my servant, do this, and he does. He recognizes that Jesus is a man under authority. He recognizes that Jesus does not only have his own authority, but he is under the authority of God. That is it. And that is what we have to be demonstrating. It's not easy when we are in difficult times. It is not always easy. But please, don't dwell in the little and distressed face so for long. Move on from it. Yeah. Just say it here. I believe. I strongly believe it will happen. And Jesus said it and it happened. That is the faith that we need to, and we call it great faith, maturing faith. Yeah. There are other examples that we don't need to dwell on because of time. Woman with the issue of blood, just touch it. Every other thing people are preventing you, just touch it. That is great faith, maturing faith that we need to. And in our everyday activity, it's not easy, but we need to do it. So the last level is the perfect faith. Perfect faith is the resting faith. According to also the way that the author defined it as well. People with perfect faith no longer ask the Lord for the desires of their hearts. Yeah? But they don't kneel down and say, God, please do it for me. It's just, it is a done deal. He has done it. Yeah, those people that demonstrate that, you will see these great men of God. Once you come, you say, hey, pastor, I did this. You just touch on your hand. Go, it's done. And it's really done. Yeah, it's really done. That is perfect faith. And that is where we are all heading. That is what we want to be. That is where we want to be. Yeah, it is done. Don't bother yourself. It's already fulfilled. Yeah. If we have that thinking, then we are exercising perfect faith. And there is no way God will disappoint you. And at the moment, immediately the moment you say it is done, and then you think as well, it might not be. Okay, let us hope he will do it. You are already out of the perfect faith again. You need to be there. Yeah. So one of the examples of it, which I will quickly talk about, is Abraham. Yeah. Abraham, that is Genesis 22, 1 to 5. We might not really to read it, but we all know the story. But the thing is that this is somebody that has waited for how many years? 90. Didn't have a child. And then he promised you that you will get a child, and you get it. And then, oh my God. And he told you that through this child, you will be a multitude. You will fill the world, everything. With the descendants will be everywhere. And then suddenly he tells you again to go and kill him for him. To go and kill the child for him. Oh my God. Abraham took the child, as we all know the story, put on there. He was ready to slaughter. Why? He wanted to completely obey. because he is also rest assured in his mind that God will provide. There is no way he promises him that he will, Isaac his descendant will fill the world, and then Isaac will not be anymore. But he doesn't know what God wants to do. But what he knows is that he is assured. It is a done deal. Even if he is killed, there must be a way. He might raise him again from the dead. That is left for him to think about. But I know that it's a done deal. I will not lose Isaac. Yes, I will not lose Isaac. But I will trust you. That is perfect faith. Perfect. There is no shivering. Or maybe let me go and pray. Paul, can you remove this? Oh, no. I trust you. It is a done deal. There is a way. You will keep your promise by providing me a lot of descendants through Isaac. That is the perfect level of faith. So, the key to great and perfect faith. I know that little faith is still faith, but that is not where we want to dwell. We need to move immediately. We might find ourselves at the beginning of our problems, our difficulties, at it, but don't dwell much. Move up. Yeah, immediately to high. So the key to that is focus on God, because he is the one that has all the powers. God has all the powers. Yeah, God loves you unconditionally. He doesn't put any condition in loving you. Yes, he made the promises in the Bible, and he will definitely keep his promises. Yes. So, you need to be able to trust him. Yeah. You need to be able to look at your challenges. I'm not saying that when you have challenges, you don't think about them. Think about them. But make sure that you know that there is God over them that can take charge of them. It might not be easy, but that is required of us. And there is complete assurance in the Bible that if you focus on God, if you trust him, even though it looks as if it's not easy, that he will never fail you, and he never fails. Amen. Amen. So the way of trying to grow our faith is, first of all, praying to receive the Holy Spirit. Because in 1 Corinthians 12:9, faith is one of the spiritual gifts. So we need to continuously call God in to help us, give us that spiritual gift of faith, that we will be able to move from our little faith to the greatest faith. That is one. Another one is prayer. You will see that in Mark 9:28-29, he talks about, Jesus told the disciple, because they were asking him, why couldn't we drive out the demon that boy had? He told them that some of these things are done only through prayer. Please, if you're slumbering, please, you need to pray. I know that maybe some of the things we do, our work, our whatever, might prevent us from being able to pray. But the church has also provided thousands of opportunities for you to pray. Even the prayer service on Friday that we do here is a powerful opportunity for you to pray. Just make it out. Come. What we do there is only prayer. So if you can't even pray in the morning at your home because of the work or whatever, back out Friday, 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock, yeah, to 8. Come and pray. Pray, because that is the only way. He said prayer. That is the only way we can drive such demon out. Please, try. Another one. But let me also emphasize that coming Friday is Jabez moment. It starts at 6 o'clock for everybody and ends 7:30. It's a wonderful opportunity to talk to God. Pray that God will strengthen you, that you will move mountains. You will claim the promises that he has abound for us here. All those difficult situations are surmountable. Please. The knowledge brings the truth. When we are able to read the Bible, we will know what and what God has for us to be able to have faith in it. If we don't know that God is capable, or God that has given us a promise of healing, how am I going to be faithful or have faith that I will be healed? It is only when I know it, and you can only know it when you engage through your Bible. It might be that you study Bible individually. That is also fine. But you learn more. There are thousands of revelation that you might learn if you share word of God with other people. And our home cell is a wonderful opportunity for you to share Bible study with other people, share ideas, practicalize the things you read in the Bible for you to understand them very well. Yes, faith requires pure conscience. All those little habits, sinful habits that are preventing us, from having our faith, please let us try to do as much as possible to reduce it. Because what it does is that it makes you sometimes feel guilty. Hey, I'm not worthy. Hey, because I did this, I'm doing this, I shout at people, I hit people, I do this. You feel guilty. And because of that guiltiness, you lose the ability to focus on God because you feel that you're not in good terms with God. And secondly, that small sinful habit makes your relationship with God not to be working very fine. That is why it destroys the faith that we have. I'm not saying that we are perfect, but that is what we have to be struggling to become perfect. And finally, faith without work is dead. That is what James told us. That is, we must put actions in our faith. It's not enough to say that I'm faithful. It is not. What are you doing that portray that faith that you have in God? What are my actions portraying the fact that I have faith in God? When I am in that difficult situation, deciding about to focus on God, to do things for God and to do things for myself, am I able to demonstrate faith that God is the provider of everything, that he will provide those things that I lost while serving God or while doing things for God? That is a practical way of demonstrating, putting your faith in action. Trust him and he will answer you, please. Let us mature. All these things will help us to move from our little faith to the great and even the perfect faith. I want you to stand on your feet. I want us to talk to God. Tell God that the only way out, the only way to please him is having faith. Having strong and great and perfect faith. That is what we are craving for. May he send down his spiritual gift of faith for us. Tell him to strengthen us that we may be able to move from our little faith, our restless and struggling faith, to the great faith. Tell God, that is our purpose. That is our aim. That is what we are striving for. I know, oh God, that I cannot do this on my own, oh God. Father, I am incapable of doing it, but with you, oh God, I am capable of doing it. That is what I believe. Father, grant me the spiritual gift of faith, oh God, that I may be able to demonstrate. I may be able to put the faith I have in you, oh God, in my works. Father, put it in action, oh God, that I will glorify you. Name, that I will claim every promises that you have given me, every promise you have given me in the Bible, oh God, I'm able to pray, to claim them, enjoy them, the King of glory. Oh God, help my brothers and sisters, oh God, as you help me, oh God. That is my prayer. Father, the King of glory, help us, oh God. Help us to demonstrate the faith in you. Help us to grow our faith from the lowest level to the highest level. Father, that you may be pleased. Father, that it will be possible for us to praise you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. You can have your seat. Put your hands together for the Lord. Amen.
Come on. Put your hands together for this gift of God. Wow. Say to your neighbor, wow. Wow, what a shock. Say to your neighbor, what a shock. I promise you, next week I will give you back your 5 minutes. Amen? Amen. What a joy. Take your offering. Wow.